Hey, welcome everybody to another episode of the Grueling Truths Tuesday Night Boxing Show, brought to you by Gridiron Mo, a new interactive football app where you get to call what you think the offense or defense should do during a live NFL game and see what all other fans across the country have called also. Check out Gridiron Mo at www.gridironmo.com. As always, I want to welcome in my co-host for the boxing show, Dave Sadursky. How you doing tonight, Dave?
I'm doing excellent. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, I'm doing great. We have a very special guest tonight. He was one of the top boxers of the last 15 years, former IBF light middleweight champion of the world, and holds wins over Shane Mosley twice and Felix Trinidad. Help me welcome to the Grueling Truth, Winky Wright.
Hey, what's up? How y'all doing?
All right. It's truly an honor to have you on here, Winky.
Hey, and you failed to mention the undisputed junior middleweight champion.
All right, yeah. I'm sorry. We can do
yeah.
it over if you want.
Let's get that right. No, it's cool.
You beat Jermaine Taylor, too, so we should be able to throw that in. But, all right, let's start off. Is there anybody in particular who was most influential on your boxing development when you were younger?
I watch a lot of Sugar Ray Leonard coming up, Sugar Ray Leonard and Pernell Whitaker. You know, when I first started fighting, that's what my style was like. But you know, just later on in my career, I switched my style up to the style that a lot of people know now.
Champ, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Camp, other than Sugar Ray Leonard and Pernell Whitaker, were there any other fighters that were favorites of yours growing up?
A lot of fighters that you liked. You know, Marvin Hagler, you know, Mark Breland. You know, it's different fighters, you know, that I like. But particularly at that time, I tried to keep myself on Sugar Ray Leonard. And I love how Pernell Whitaker made you miss. You know, he did a lot of slipping and moving and made fighters miss. So I liked that and tried to implement that in my game.
All right. Now, you fought mostly overseas for a five-year period, I think, between 1993 and 1998. What were those experiences like for you?
I think those experiences were great for me. It helped me become a more rounded fighter, I think, because you know, I had to go into areas where me and my team were the only people rooting for me. So it helped me to learn how to block the outsiders away from what I had to do in the ring. You know, so a lot of fighters can only fight good when they're in their own environment. But, you know, it helped me to be able to adjust and do what I had to do to win the fight.
Champ, you lost in your first title chance against Julio Cesar Vasquez in August of 1994 by a close and controversial decision. What was that experience like, and what did you learn from it?
Well, that let me know that I truly was a world champion, because, like I said, I was 21, and I you know, I was just boxing, having fun, and that fight showed me how tough I was, the toughness in me to keep fighting, because I had a lot of things going wrong. I stayed over there for a long time, and when I fought, my shoes, I kept slipping and falling. They was giving them knockdowns when I was clearly outboxing them. Outboxing the whole fight, I was clearly outboxing them and everything, but I just couldn't keep my balance because my shoes kept slipping. And then later, you know, he hurt me, knocked me down, you know. But a lot of times, I was just so tired because before that fight, my longest fight I ever went was 8 rounds. So I was in a tough 12-round fight where I had to dig down and fight to continue, you know, so he wouldn't try to knock me out, because I, you know, people can say what they want, but I'm a fighter that had never been knocked out, never been stopped, you know, so.
Well, how difficult is it for an undefeated fighter to recover from their first loss? And with your experience, your first loss, how did it help your career, maybe?
Like I said, it helped me tremendously. It helped me realize what I had to do to not lose, to feel that feeling again. You know, I went back, I trained harder, I trained smarter. And then, as you see, I came back and just started beating everybody. And then that's when I had a couple of bad decisions go the other way. So, you know, that right there was tough. But, you know, it's life. And, you know, you got to, you know, prepare yourself for things like that.
Champ, close to 2 years later, you challenged WBO junior middleweight champion Franco McCart and won by a decision. How did it feel to win your first world title?
Oh, it was great, man, because everybody, you know, expected McCart to beat me because he was on TV at that time. You know, me, I wasn't getting much TV plug. And, you know, he was always on USA. He was, you know, he was their up-and-coming fighter today. He was their bright star. So for me to go in his hometown and beat him, it was a big thing. And at that time, nobody wanted to fight Bronco McCart. You know, a lot of people say, well, Bronco McCart, he never became this and never became that because he kept running into me. You know, we fought three times, and, you know, that was his Achilles. He kept fighting me. If he probably should have fought me that one time, lost, and went other route, he probably would have had a much lucrative career.
Well, after that, you defended the title, I think, three times in London. Then you traveled to South Africa, where you lost a controversial decision to the undefeated Harry Simon. It was a fight
that was initially ruled
a draw, and then it was changed a few minutes later to majority decision. What are your thoughts on that?
That had to be one of the worst decisions ever. First of all, he fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. Okay, they call it a draw. I still thought I beat him, but they call it a draw. You know, I'm the champion. I keep my belt with a draw. So I'm like, all right, cool. I go to the dressing room. And then when I take a shower and do everything, now I'm getting ready. You know, we ready to leave and go back to the hotel. They come back and say, come back to the ring because we made a mistake, you know, and we got the scorecard wrong. First of all, they took 10, 15 minutes in the ring counting it up. And what they did was they made, I think, Julie Letterman, this was her first title fight, whatever. They pressured her to change her scorecard and what she did for them. And they gave him a decision by 1 point. And, you know, when I was a WBO champion at the time, so when we tried to talk to the WBO and said, you know, they can't do this. You know, how can they change the decision after they already made the decision and, you know, we want to fight it. You know, and they didn't do anything. So I told the WBO I'll never fight for y'all again. You know, but at that time, they didn't think anything of it because they were like, well, you know, he lost the title. He probably won't be anything anyways. So they're like, okay, whatever, you know. But little do they know, it came back to bite them in their butt.
Champ, in December of 1999, you lost yet another controversial decision, Fernando Vargas. At this point, you've lost three times. And all three of your losses are controversial, I guess. What were your feelings about this then, and how do you feel about it now in retrospect?
That's really when it started to really get to me about this boxing game, where how corrupt it was and how unfair and unjust it was. Because, you know, these fighters come in and pour their heart out and fight the fight of their life for a judge to come in who's you know, been favored from the promoter and brought in from the promoter for his fighter to win and, you know, and give a lopsided decision. You know, you've seen it more than once. Everybody that watched Fox has seen it more than once, where you see a fight and then you know that this fighter clearly won the fight, but when they get a decision, you know, they give it to the other fighter. And you're like, what were they watching? So, you know, it's a lot of things bad in boxing, and I think that's one of them.
Yeah, that would be the equivalent of, you know, the San Francisco 49ers beating the New England Patriots 48-10, and at the end of the game they rule for the Patriots. So
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, it's the only sport where you get that. And I know Harold Letterman even had you winning a fight against Fernando Vargas, I think. And, I mean, I think it was a joke, but there was a lot of money behind Vargas, which has a lot to do with that a lot of times. I know we had Steve Cunningham on the show a few months ago, and he's been ripped off multiple times, and most of them were overseas, but they get him over here, too, sometimes.
You
came back. You defeated Robert Frazier in October 2001 to win the IBF Junior Middleweight Championship. How satisfying was it to be a champion once again when you had all these people that were doubting you?
No, it wasn't really that the people were doubting me. It was more on my part that, you know, they kept cheating. They kept trying to rob me, kept trying to stop me, and they couldn't. You know, no matter what they did, I still prevailed and became a world champion. That that really let me know that if I just keep stay focused and keep my mind, and I can do whatever I want.
Champ, at one point you were slated to fight Oscar De La Hoya. What happened, and why did that fight never come off?
I never was slated to fight Oscar. I always wanted to fight Oscar, but Oscar never wanted to fight me. He clearly, he never offered me a fight, you know, and I seen him plenty of times and kept asking, you know, look, man, you giving everybody a fight. Why won't you fight me? Before he fought Pacquiao, I said, listen, I got all the belt, you know. I got all the belts. I beat everybody you lost to. So you know, the only fight I did really is me and you. That's what the people want to see, you know. Pacquiao wasn't a star then, you know, but he just was like, well, I guess he thought it was going to be an easy fight, and he took that fight, and it cost him. Pacquiao destroyed him.
All right, real quick, we're going to have to take a station break to pay some bills, so we'll be back after we hear this word from our sponsor, DraftKings.
Your season-long fantasy football lineup is locked in and ready for action, but you don't have to wait till Week 16 to get paid. Put your fantasy skills to the test starting Sunday at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site where you could kick the season off by winning $2 million. It's the biggest fantasy football contest ever. $10 million in prizes are up for grabs, including $2 million for first place and $1 million for second. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. It's fantasy football on demand. Play where you want, when you want, with the players you want. Then, turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. Just pick up your players, pile up the points, and pick up the cash. That's it. You've never experienced football like this. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code SPREAKER to play for free for a shot at $2 million in the Week 1 Millionaire Maker. Enter SPREAKER for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
All right, we're back with former Undisputed Junior middleweight champion of the world, Winky Wright. Did I get it right that time, Winky?
Yeah, Undisputed, baby.
In March 2004, you were a heavy underdog when you faced Sugar Shane Mosley, yet you beat him pretty handily. How satisfying was that?
Well, that was great because it was a coming and out party because a lot of the boxing world knew who Winky Wright was, but the fans really didn't know who Winky Wright was. You know, you could say my name in the boxing game, and people were like, oh, Winky Wright, I heard that name, blah, blah, blah. But I wasn't a household name. So after beating Sugar Shane Mosley, because remember, he just beat Oscar De La Hoya twice, so everybody knew who he was, and nobody knew who I was, and they wasn't giving me a chance because he fought Oscar, beat Oscar. Everybody thought, well, Winky ain't never fought nobody like that, so Winky going to lose. But like I told everybody, I ain't never fought nobody like that because they were scared to fight me. It wasn't that I didn't want to fight. They were just scared to fight me.
Champ, you defeated Mosley again that November. What was it about his style that you were able to exploit?
Well, I think it was more, you know, I'm a fighter that like to use my jab a lot, and Mosley is a shorter fighter. So it was easier for me to, you know, pretty much get my jab off and keep him off balance, because I noticed when he fought, he liked to jump up a lot. He liked to jump and bounce on his tippy toes, so he's never really set. So if I wouldn't give him a chance to sit and plant, then I can knock him off his game plan. And that's what I did every time he jumped up, you know, bouncing on his tippy toe, I hit him with the jab. So now he got to reset. And every time he had to reset, I was ready for him.
Well, May 2005, you handily defeated the great Felix Trinidad. In retrospect, which win was more meaningful to you, the one against Trinidad or the one against Mosley?
Well, both of them was meaningful for me, but I think the fight that really took me out into to stardom was Trinidad fight and how I did it. You know, once again, you got to remember, whenever every fight I fought, they coming off big fights. So he had just fought Mayorga, and he looked great. He destroyed Mayorga in New York. So, you know, everybody watched that fight. Everybody seen that fight and was just like, you know, Winky can't punch. Winky can't do this. Winky ain't going to have a chance with the great Trinidad, da-da-da-da-da. So, you know, once again, I was like, that's cool. But he fought Mayorga. He didn't fight me. You know, it's a difference. So, you know, when we went into that fight, I knew that, you know, whenever I saw him, he had the plan to throw his shot. And when he had to plan to load up, I knew with my defense, I can block his shots. I ain't worried about him. I could block him, but all I had to do was just get off first. And once I started getting off first and timed him with my jab, it was an easy fight.
Yes, Chip, that was an impressive. And I don't think you lost a round, if I remember right, on any of the judges' scorecards. After that, you fought a draw with middleweight champion Jermaine Taylor in December of 2005. What are your recollections of that fight, and did you feel like you deserved the decision on that night?
I definitely deserved the decision in that fight. First of all, I want to let everybody know, by them giving the correct decision and giving me the win, I would have been I probably would have been the first fighter to have been an undisputed junior middleweight champion and undisputed middleweight champion at the same time. Remember, I never lost my junior middleweight title. I gave them up because I moved up because nobody else would fight me at 154. You know, I had nobody else down there. Everybody, once I became undisputed champion at junior middleweight, everybody moved up to 60 and 47. They cleared the division. And then I'm like, what? So now Oscar, he jumped up to 60. This person go down to 40, 47. So it was nobody at 54 for me to fight. So I had to fight a couple of little fighters. And after that, I'm like, you know, well, listen, I got to go up because that's the only thing I can do. And Jermaine Taylor was there. So, you know, I was undisputed junior middleweight champion. He was the undisputed middleweight champion. And rightfully so, they should have gave me that decision, and I would have definitely made history by being first undisputed junior middleweight and middleweight champion.
Well, why do you think the rematch never happened with Taylor?
Oh, the rematch never happened because they never wanted it. People try to say that they offered me this and this. He never wanted the fight. He never wanted the fight. I was pissed off. You know, as you can see at the fight, I was mad. I didn't want to do an interview. I didn't want, because I'm tired. You know, as you just read through my record, it's three or four times I've been cheated. You know, and it's like, you know, when enough is enough. You know what I'm saying? When I'm gonna get a decision to go my way and stop being cheated, just because I don't, you know, people was mad at me because I didn't do what everybody wanted me to do. I did what I wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? Now. That Floyd doing what he want to do, it's great. But when I did it, it was like I'm going against the power. I'm going against this. No, it wasn't that. It was just that I'm tired. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be ran over. I want to say what I want and get what I want. And that's what the problem was. They didn't like that. And, you know, I kept falling on the wrong decision, the bad decision.
Champ, you agreed to fight Bernard Hopkins in July of 2007. At a catch weight of 170 pounds. Do you feel like that put you at an unfair disadvantage?
It definitely did, but that's not the problem. The problem, you know, listen, it was once again at 60. I fought a bunch of more people at 60, and I couldn't get no meaningful fights. No, there was no meaningful fights out there. So it's like I had like 50, almost 50 fights. It's like, what am I keep fighting these Joe Smoes for? And it doesn't mean anything. So I'm like, listen, if I'm going to fight, let it mean something. So it was no meaningful fight there. So, you know, Bernard Hopkins just beat my friend from Antonio Tava. So, you know, and he was like, you know, he'll fight me. So I guess he thought I was scared because he was bigger. I'm like, I love to fight. I've been wanting to fight you a long time ago. Because I don't think I think you're good, but I definitely think I could beat you. And that's what happened. We went into the fight. You know, clearly, he tried to take me on my game plan, but he just kept holding the headbutt. You know, I ain't never seen a referee not take away points. That's all he was doing, holding. I'm like, take a point, do something, make him fight, you know. And then he tried to take him to the later round, and like I said, he headbutted me and cut me. I could have just stopped in the second round and said, look, I can't see, and it could have been a draw, but I wanted to beat him. I wanted to knock him out. And it didn't happen, you know what I'm saying? And I definitely thought I won the fight. If you see how I reacted at the end of the fight, you know, soon at the end of the fight, when they call the decision, I'm the one looking like, yeah, let's do this. I got this. He just standing there like, you know, dang, I lost. And then when they call the decision for him, he's like, oh, you know, I'm like, really? I'm like, man, that right there, that was the last draw. Boxing, I had lost all respect for boxing. So people was like, well, why you ain't fight 2 minutes? You know, why it took so long to get back? Because I really didn't want to fight anymore. It was more of, you know, how much can I give a sport and keep getting robbed? You know what I'm saying? All I want is my just do it and a fair shot, fair shake at everything. You know what I'm saying? First of all, they didn't want to pay me like they should have paid me for all the things that I have done in the sport and all the people I have beat. They always wanted to give me the short end of the stick. But it was like, look, you got to do what you got to do to get on top. So I did that. But at the same time, they just underrated me. They wanted this. They didn't want to give me this. Didn't want to do this. So I'm just like, you know what? I don't want to box no more. So I really, that's why it took me like a, probably another year and a half to 2 years to fight again. It was like, you know what? Forget boxing. I don't want to do this no more. And then, you know, but that's what I'm a fighter. So eventually it came by, okay, well, I'll come back. And then at that time, when I come back, I'm like, I don't want to just fight no bums like these dudes. They come back and fight somebody they know shit they can beat. You know, I come back and fight undefeated fighters. Okay, I lost. But the whole point is I'm coming back because I want meaningful fights. If I can fight, if I'm going to be a fighter, I want to fight the best. You know what I'm saying? I never turn down no fight. So people can say, I often we get fail. I did this. I ain't never turned down a fight that meant something. So whoever's in there is lying.
Well, I think that's the thing that made you one of the great fighters of the last 10 or 15 years. The fact that you basically went after the best fighters in the world. And I
that's
mean,
right.
Win or lose, you gave it your best effort. You let the chips fall where they may.
I
think you're an absolutely outstanding fighter. And I think the thing that they didn't like about it is you were beating up the guys that they had all their money behind.
That's right. That's exactly what happened. I'm taking away the network fighters. And if the network would have just said, well, listen, let's get behind him, because I had, no matter what they say, I have a lot of, I had the most, you know, we would go fight places and I'm with other fighters that they support, and the fans still want to see me. and they realized this, but it was just too late. They had made their bed, and they was so much money was going behind pushing these other fighters and not pushing me, and it still ain't helped them. The other fighters, and to this day, you still say Winky Wright. Everybody, oh yeah, Winky Wright, yeah. That. But you said some of the other names, they're like, okay, yeah, he's all right, but such and such. And the fans, the true fans, know true fighters. They know what really happened in them fights. And even when I lost, you know, you seen when people come up and say he didn't lose this, that. So. You know, it is what it is.
Champ, you own an independent record label now named Pound for Pound Promotions. Tell our listeners a little bit about that and your appreciation for music.
No, that was years ago. I've been shut that down. But I love music. I love hip hop music. My friend, you know, he passed away. God bless the dead, Chris Lighty. You know what I'm saying? He was big in the music game, and you know, he helped me to really, really get inside the music game and meet a lot of these big name people and, you know, the people that's running the music scene at that time. So, you know, I thank him for that, but I realized that, you know, to really be truly into that music game, you really have to have the time and effort to put into it, because the artist really needs your back and really needs your push to shine, and you can't half do it. And, you know, at that time I was half doing it. I was doing it for a couple of friends, and I liked the music game, but I didn't know the business part of it. And once I learned that, I realized I wasn't ready for that, so I got out of it.
All right. Hey, real quick, we got to take another word from our sponsors. The sponsor is Gridiron Mo. Check them out at www.gridironmo.com. Hey, everybody, go check out a brand-new football app called Gridiron Mo. It's an app where you get to call what you think the offense or defense should do during a live NFL game and see what all others around the country have also called. So make sure you check out Gridiron Mo app at www.gridironmo.com. All right, guys, we're back with former junior middleweight champion of the world, Winky Wright. Winky, I think there's no doubt that someday you'll be selected to the International Boxing Hall of Fame. Have you given any thought to what you would say in that speech?
No, I haven't gave thought to that right now. Like I said, for me, my whole thing, my whole career, I always want to thank my fans, because the fans who really pushed Winky Wright, the writers and the fans that believed in me made the networks, they made the boxing councils put Winky Wright where he needed to be. If it wasn't for y'all and it wasn't for my fans, I would never have been able to get them fights that pushed me over the top.
That's a really humble statement, champ. And as one of your fans, I appreciate that. You are one of the outstanding defensive fighters in boxing in recent memory. And I guess what's your secret to that? You know, what does it take to be a great defensive fighter?
You can't be scared to be hit. You know, for me in boxing, you know, I love to fight. I love to get in the spar. I love to fight. I hated the training. That was the problem. You know, the training was killed me. You know, it was there because I would fight and then I would get out of shape by going traveling. You know, I live life. You know what I'm saying? I had a young kid, my kids. I was going places with my kids, doing this, going on golf trips. So I live life. So when I wasn't fighting, I wasn't training, I was gaining too much weight. So I was going from 154 to 190, 195. So after a while, it just made it harder and harder for me to get down to that weight. And, you know, eventually it just slowed me down a little bit. But like I said, if I was one of the fighters that stayed in shape and you know, didn't get so much out of shape, I think I would still be fighting right now. Like right now, because I'm not fighting, I'm starting to get in shape and do it the right way and not starve myself and do all that. So, you know, I had Shane Mosley call me and say, look, let's get back in the ring before you fought Mayorga. And I told him, you know, man, it's not worth it. First of all, I'm not coming back to make a spectacle of myself. You know what I'm saying? But now if it came down to the right fight, you know, would I come back? You never know. Only fight I really think I really want to come back for is Oscar De La Hoya, because I think he's the only chump that ran from me and never fought me, and he should have fought me. You know, that would have been a mega fight, me and Oscar De La Hoya, and he didn't want to do it.
Because he would have got his ass whooped, Winky.
but that's not what made me, I think, another key point of the fighter that I am, I think I took stuff from Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler, Duran, Hearns. Them fighters fought each other once, twice, three times. No matter, you win, you lose, but you give it a great fight and you come back and try to do it again. That shows the heart of a real champion. These fighters right now running around with these undefeated records, but you ain't fighting nobody. You undefeated, but you haven't fought anyone that's really challenged you. Yes, okay, you fought somebody with a name, but maybe they passed their prime. Fight that person that's in your same era with the same ability that you have, who people really think you might lose this fight, and then you come and beat that fighter. That's make you a great fighter. Not because you're beating everybody you're supposed to beat. Well, you ain't doing nothing with what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. So do you still follow boxing?
Not really. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't. You know, you see the big fights. But, you know, I got my a fighter from my gym, Keith Thurman, One Punch Thurman. And Shorty, he grew up in my gym. He grew up training with me and learning things. And I love the way he fight. He got a lot of excitement with his boxing game. He can punch, he can box, but he's smart. And a lot of people just see him as punching, but Keith can box, Keith can jab, Keith can go to the body, and he learned all that from being in the gym and being taught all of that, you know, not just trying to hit one big hard shot, but learn how to box, man, learn how to 1-2, learn how to go to the body, and, you know, I think he's going to be a great fighter.
What kind of shot would you give him against Mayweather?
Well, you know, like I said, you can't really say what somebody can do against Mayweather, because Mayweather is a great fighter with a great defense, but a small fighter, and he knows how to win. He knows how to use what is good for him. He uses his jab. He uses his distance. He pop shots you. He knows how to move around you. And if he feel like you're getting tired or you can't punch, then that's when you will see him moving with the shoulder and try to go to your body and come back up to the head and just do what it has to do to win. And he's in great shape. So, you know, I definitely think he has a shot. You know, do I think he'll win? I don't know. Do I think he can win? Yes, I think he can win. But, you know, it is what it is. Boxing is boxing. One punch can change anything.
Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time. Dave, you got any more questions?
I guess just one last question, champ. What are you passionate about now in your life?
Man, I'm passionate about family. You know, my kids, my family, and just enjoying life, man, because we only get one shot at this. You know, a lot of people, you know, we so much on trying to get this and get that, you don't live your life in the moment. See, I live my life in the moment. Whatever I did and whatever I have done, I don't have any regrets. That's why somebody was asking me the other day, if you can go back and change something, would you change about your boxing or anything like that? I said, no, I had no regrets. I took everything I did at that time, and I'll do it again. You know what I'm saying? And it is what it is. But I lived in that moment. I enjoyed that moment. And that's what a lot of people don't do. Floyd does it. I give it to him. He enjoys the moment. He's living his life, and that's great. You know what I'm saying? A lot of other people, they just, you know, they're so busy trying to do this and do that and gain this, and you forgetting about this and that. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I'm sorry, Mike.
I can tell you this. Winky, it was an absolute honor to have you on the show tonight.
Hey, man. No problem. I appreciate y'all having me, man.
Hey, and anytime you want to come back on, or you can bring Keith, because I like Keith, too.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
But, all right. Well, once again, you were listening to the undisputed undisputed junior middleweight champion of the world, Winky Wright. So, like I said, Winky, anytime we could do this again, I think it would be great. Dave?
Yeah, thanks, champ, for your time. Great talking with you.
All right, man. Y'all take it deep.
All right. Thanks a lot, Winky.
All right, bud. Bye.
All right, Dave. That was a pretty good interview, don't you think?
That was pretty good. One of the, his career, he reminds me a little bit of Marvelous Marvin Hagler in some ways. That the way he got basically jobbed in some of those fights. And every close decision seemed to go against him. But definitely goes down as an all-time great.
Oh, you're from Massachusetts. All great fighters from our new, remind you of Marvin Hagler.
Well, he's a pretty good standard bearer. You got to admit that.
Oh, he is. But, I mean, I think Winky Wright, I mean, if you had to put the top 15 fighters of this century, he definitely falls into top 15, probably the top 10.
I wouldn't argue with you there, and he needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I don't think he's been retired long enough to be in the Hall of Fame yet, though.
No, I understand that. I'm not sure. How long is the wait for the?
I thought it was 5 years for that too, but I'm not 100% sure.
That sounds about right. And he's been retired for what, about 2 or 3?
Yeah, I think his last fight was 2012, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
So. All right. Now, the rest of the week, later tonight, we will have the NFL Pick'em Show with Leon Searcy. Dave, you want to be a special guest and pick the games this week with us?
Sure, why not?
All right, it's this number. But that show will come out tomorrow morning, which would be, I believe, Wednesday morning. Also this week, we'll have the Cincinnati Bengals Weekly Show with myself and former Cincinnati Bengal linebacker Joe Kelly. The San Francisco 49er Weekly Show will be up with Matt Andrew Scavage, Dexter Carter, and Bryant Young, I believe, will be their guests this week. Also, don't forget to check out Gridiron Mo, which we will have a Gridiron Mo show this week, which you can sit there and call the plays as the game goes and as the Patriots destroy the Steelers. You can call the plays along with Dave, right, Dave?
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good.
Because from what I hear, I mean, the Patriots have already bought off Ben Roethlisberger, so that game's in the bag.
It's a conspiracy.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, we're in the process of booking former Dallas Cowboy All-Pro offensive lineman John Nyland. Played from 1966 to 1974 with the Dallas Cowboys. Randall Moores, former Seattle Seahawk, played for them in the mid-80s, will be a guest coming up in the next week or so. So you got any final words there, Dave?
Great show as always, Mike.
All right. If you want to do the Pick'em Show tonight, call in at 11 o'clock.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. So for Dave Sadursky, I'm Mike Goodpasture. You've been listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak. We'll see you next time.
Okay.